Before you hear the rest of the lecture, you have some time to look at questions 7 to 11. Now listen and answer questions 7 to 11.
Suburban sprawl actually tends to be very simple, consisting of just a few components which are normally kept strictly segregated from each other. One component is housing subdivisions, which are districts consisting only of residences. They are sometimes called villages, towns, or neighborhoods by their developers, which is misleading, since those terms denote places which are not exclusively residential and which provide a richness of experience that is not available in a housing tract. Subdivisions can be identified as such by their contrived names, which tend toward the romantic and often pay tribute to the natural or historic resource they have displaced, woodland, mills, or ponds, maybe, that have been destroyed. Another element, schools, have evolved dramatically in the past 30 or 40 years. A comparison between the size of the car park and the size of the building is revealing. Most are schools to which no child will ever walk. Pedestrian access is usually non-existent, and the spread of homes often makes school buses impractical, so the designs of schools in the new suburbs assume massive automotive transportation. Other components, too, such as shopping areas and business parks, have their own separate locations. As a result, one of the most conspicuous components of sprawl consists of the endless roadways that are necessary to connect all these elements. Since each section of suburbia serves only one type of activity, and since daily life involves a wide variety of activities, the residents of suburbia spend an unprecedented amount of time and money moving from one place to the next. And as most of this motion takes place in singly occupied automobiles, even a sparsely populated area can generate the traffic of a much larger traditional town. Now I'm going to examine the role...